In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather. Just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time. Now, some of you may recognize those words, those lyrics to the song Stormy Weather, which I'm sure Mother Susan could sing beautifully for us, but my wife made me promise that I wouldn't sing it to you. But our gospel lesson this morning is about stormy weather. I don't know about you, but living here in the sunshine state, as we call it, when we have day after day of nice weather, it's hard to remember that we can have times of storm and, dare I say it, even hurricanes. I, and probably you, prefer not to think about these things, but they are, after all, a part of life. A few years ago, two of our granddaughters came down to visit us here, and we decided to take them to Universal Studios over in Orlando. And one of the attractions there was based on the movie Twister, which had been popular a few years prior to that. We walked into a viewing area and found ourselves standing on the porch of a general store and gas station in a sun-baked Kansas town. Gentle breezes blew the metal sign above our heads. Gradually, however, it began to cloud up, and the wind rose, and soon there was thunder and lightning, and drops of rain were blowing toward us, and one of my granddaughters bolted for the door. Sure enough, what came was a full-scale twister, a tornado, funnel cloud, which began throwing everything every which way and culminating with a full-size tractor trailer truck coming straight for us. Thank goodness it was only make-believe. But unfortunately, not all storms are make-believe. In our gospel lesson from Mark, Jesus and his disciples are sailing across the Lake of Galilee, about a two-hour trip. On the way, a storm came up. Now, as you may know, a violent thunderstorm can be very frightening in a small boat. I know I went sailing with some friends once and experienced that. It says an aggressive storm of wind arose, and waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. So where is Jesus while all this is happening? He's asleep. The terrified apostles wake him up saying, "Teacher, do you not care if we are perishing?" The lesson simply says, he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Who indeed?" The disciples knew well the prophets and the Psalms. They knew that when the Messiah would come, he would be able to bring a new era of peace and harmony, even harmony with nature. So they saw here one who calms the water of turmoil and chaos. This is one of several signs that Mark writes about early in Jesus' ministry. Mark is building a case with these various miracles and signs until by chapter 8, he reveals Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. It's clear that, by the way, the storms that Jesus calms are not just physical storms, but they're also metaphors for the storms of life. I can't resist just taking it aside for a minute. Last night my wife and I came to the service at 5:30, and there was a thunderstorm coming up at our house. We have two dogs, see? And they were scared to death. Normally when we're home, they just go hide in a dark room. But the fact that we were going out, guess what? They wanted to come with us no matter what. It took three attempts to get them back in the house, and we both felt like heels leaving them behind. I wish I could reason with them and tell them, you know, somehow not to be so afraid. But Mark made it clear that Jesus calms the storms of life. I don't know about you, but I identify in this story with the disciples in the boat. And when storms come up, don't we ask, in effect, "Oh Lord, don't you care if we're perishing?" So what are the storms of life that threaten us? Well, over the years, there have been lots of things. In Mark's time, the biggest storm was probably the persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. I could think of lots of storms over the years. And today, I was looking around at all of you a moment ago, trying to think what storms might be threatening you. And in a few cases, I think I have a hint of what they might be, but in some cases, I don't know. We may often battle the storm of temptation, or a storm of discouragement, storm of bitterness or loneliness. We may face a soul-crushing depression that follows a marital breakup, or the death of a loved one, or the self-destructive behavior of one of our children. We may face the terror of life-threatening illness, or the storm of financial complications. The storm could be some life-changing event, something so intense that it will challenge or change everything we believe in. It could be a threat to our family. Almost always, the storm affects you deeply, personally. It can make you doubt everything and everyone that you ever believed in. You can feel isolated, alone, frightened. A storm of great magnitude will change you. The storms could go by many names. Some of them are sickness, accident, abuse, misfortune, setback, trouble, problems, and hurt. What's more, storms don't strike sometimes until we are least able to resist. And don't expect storms to fight fair. They fight dirty. In this particular week, I don't know about you, but I can't help thinking about the storm that was taking place, and still is in a way, in Charleston, South Carolina. A young man entered a Bible study group and after an hour shot the members of the group. That is an example of pure, senseless evil. And as someone who leads a Bible study here, I thought about it twice. I believe that the implications of that particular storm are far-reaching. Now, no one said this that I'm aware of, but in my imagination, I think this young man who did the shooting must have been mentally ill. But he also believed in the evil concept of racism, which causes me to do some soul searching to see if there are any remnants of racism in me. I know that God loves all his children equally, and that in heaven all races and peoples will serve God around his heavenly throne, living in harmony. It also occurred last week, another story, that a woman named Rachel Dolezal, who was president of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington, it was revealed that she pretended to be a genetically African-American person. I'm sorry that she was only pretending, because I don't think she needed to do that. She came across on TV, at least to me, as a nice person. I often jokingly say to people that I'm African-American, because if you trace my heritage back far enough, it goes back to the plains of West Africa about 50,000 years ago. And not only have I read that, but my wife, because she has Parkinson's disease, took a DNA test. And sure enough, there are lots of strands that come from Northern Europe, but they do go all the way back to West Africa. So, see, we are all African Americans. I pray that some good can come out of these storms. We need to remember Jesus' words to the disciples. Have you still no faith? And then Jesus calms the storm. And so it is, Jesus calms the storms of our lives. In the Phillips translation, it reads, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. I like that. Many Christians experiencing trouble have said that in the midst of their trouble, they could discern that there was something there, something that could not be described, but which made a significant difference in how they handled the situation. I suggest that that something was God. I know once in my life when I was going through a very difficult time, my counselor used an expression. He said, look for God in the mess. That meant a lot to me. Not only will God end the storm eventually, but he's in that mess somewhere. So look. Storms can change us, I believe, for the better. And we survive them, and that's what counts. There was a song, a different song, that was sung at my graduation from high school back in the 1960s. And I think it was used at many other graduations as well. It was a song from the musical Carousel, When You Walk Through a Storm. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Jesus calms the storms of life. He also calms us who go through those storms. So may he bring you through whatever storms you're dealing with. Amen.